It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
A great day. A great day all around. A huge win on the Supreme Court. We took down another communist. We have Senator Ted Cruz, Representative Chip Roy. The show is too jam-packed to get it all in. Coming up on I'm Right. You know they want to hurt you, right? I mean, we got this big win today in the Supreme Court, and we'll get into that in a minute about guns. But as long as we're talking about guns and rights and what should you have, shouldn't you have, let's just set everything else aside for a minute. Don't you think assessing the motivations of the other side, don't you think that's an important thing? You see, if I come home and there's someone in my backyard, and let's say he's there to landscape, and he asks me, hey, Jesse, I see you're cleaning your guns out here on the back porch. Would you mind putting that away? It just makes me a little nervous. You know, I probably would, because I know his motivation. He just wants to put some plants in and be good. But if he's got a ski mask on and a knife in his hands, and he asks me to put the guns away, the answer is going to be no. It's important. Really, really important we assess the motives of the other side. Why are the communists so adamant about taking away your guns? I think it's probably a good time to rewind a little bit and remember these are the people who told you weren't essential. You better remember that. You better remember how they think of you, what they think of you. And you better remember how angry and annoyed they are that you're so unruly, that you won't do what you're told, and it really grinds on them that you're armed. We have a great day today. We have a great show tonight. We got Chip Roy, Ted Cruz, and got another win locally, took down another communist. We got a bunch of stuff, but let's talk about this. You see, the Supreme Court today, they struck down a law. It's New York's law that said you have to have a proper cause to have a weapon. Justice Clarence Thomas, the greatest living American, Justice Clarence Thomas, delivered the opinion. By the way, happy birthday to the greatest living American, and he's 74 today. He said, quote, "We know of no other constitutional right that an individual may exercise only after demonstrating to government officers some special need. That is not how the First Amendment works when it comes to unpopular speech or the free exercise of religion. It is not how the Sixth Amendment works when it comes to a defendant's right to confront witnesses against him. And it's not how the Second Amendment works when it comes to the public carry for self-defense. New York's proper cause requirement violates the 14th Amendment and that it prevents law-abiding citizens with ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their right to keep and bear arms." And of course, he is correct. And before we move on to talk to Congressman Chip Roy about this and guns and the GOP and everything else, I just want to reiterate what I just said. Whenever we get in these arguments, whether you're arguing with a buddy or maybe you're online or wherever, and you're arguing with one of these communists about guns, you get frustrated because this is what you do. You bring up all the statistics because all the facts are on your side. All the gun crime and the heavy gun law cities, how America's mass shooting rate is actually far below other countries with strict gun laws. I mean, you're tempted to bring up all these stats. And when you bring it up, you get frustrated because it doesn't move them. Well, you have to understand, they know. They understand the stats. They understand that. They're not worried about crime. They're not worried about a mass shooting in Buffalo. They're not worried about a mass shooting at a school in Uvalde. These are not human beings who view life as being precious, as being a God-created precious life. They're communists. They're anti-humans. They don't care about a school shooting. They want you disarmed so they can hurt you. They want the freedom to hurt you. You're unruly. You're in their way. You keep getting in their way, and they just can't do all the things they want to do to you because you have the ability to protect yourself. All these other sayings they use, muskets and hunting and things like that, it's all just a cover for the fact these people want the freedom to hurt you. Joining me now to talk about this and other things, the great Congressman, my friend Chip Roy of Texas. Congressman Clarence Thomas, is he the greatest living American? I think he is, right?
I really think he is. You know, I had the great blessing of going to Luckenbach, Texas with Clarence and Jenny, and we listened to some great country music and hung out there. And you know what? Today is his birthday. He's a great American, and we love him.
Congressman, obviously the left is going to go crazy about this, and this is something I've tried to explain to my friends on the right, is that we're tempted to bring up all the stats, right? Not that there's no value in that, that show all the gun control areas are the worst areas and the U.S. doesn't actually have a mass shooting problem. We're tempted to bring up all these things, but really it doesn't matter to them. They just want us disarmed, and that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And look, you don't have to look very far. Just take their word for it, right? I mean, I'm sitting in House Judiciary Committee proceedings. I'm sitting on the floor of the House. And they tell you, and I think you should believe them, they want to take your weapon. So our job is to fight against that. Unlike the Senate, who's caving to say, oh, we've got to do something, we should be standing up and holding the line. And God bless the Supreme Court for leaning into our fundamental right to bear arms and to bear arms, which is what that ruling was about. But the critical part here, Jesse, is that they don't want to admit the truth, that this isn't just about hunting and this isn't just about protecting yourself on the streets. This is about protecting yourself against tyranny. And the irony is they want to exercise tyranny to take away your guns so that you can't defend yourself against the tyranny they say will never be used against you. They are so unbelievably crass in their lack of caring for our actual recognition of our constitutional rights.
Yeah, I do find it funny the people who just 2 years ago told us we weren't essential now tell us which weapons we are and aren't allowed to have. That is interesting. Here's New York Governor Kathy Hochul melting down.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking that they have taken away our right to have reasonable restrictions. We can have restrictions on speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. But somehow there's no restrictions allowed on the Second Amendment. This is New York. And I'm sorry this dark day has come. They were supposed to go back to what was in place since 1788 when the Constitution of the United States of America was ratified. And I would like to point out to the Supreme Court justices that the only weapons at the time were muskets. I'm prepared to go back to muskets.
Congressman, all right, so they're freaking out, but are we done with this fight here? Is there more we can do? I hate to sound greedy, but are there wins we can get out of Congress? I know not this Congress, but going forward, should Congress flip, is there something else we can hope for nationally?
Well, first of all, we're never done with the fight, right? You see it. They will never stop. They want us to be disarmed. And, you know, history is replete with people who have been disarmed and then had terrible things happen to them. We obviously know in Nazi Germany. We know in Russia. We know in China. We know throughout the world it has been true, and particularly in the South, disarming slaves. It was purposeful, and it was purposely done so they couldn't defend themselves. They want to disarm us. And the fact is, Congress, when we're in charge, we need to do everything we can to bolster those rights, stand up for those rights, and move forward on offense rather than playing defense. But let's keep in mind, the governor, she was just lying to you. She was lying to the American people when she said, oh, well, about the restrictions. First of all, the court said you can still maintain licensing requirements. You can still maintain the ability to have certain standards. I'm not sure I fully agree with that at the end of the day. Constitutional carry would say you have the right to bear arms. But they left in place the licensing requirement. All they said was that you must issue it if you meet those requirements, not may. But the point is, the court was recognizing you have a right to defend yourself, not just in your home, but around the country. That is a fundamental right, and it is a right that Democrats do not care about because they want power and control. That's what this is about.
We recently saw 14 Republicans in the Senate go in with the Democrats on some crappy little gun control bill. And yes, I've already raged about that, so I'm not going to rage about that again. But Please tell me those are a dying breed of Republican, right? We are getting rid of those one, aren't we, Congressman?
Well, I think we're making progress, but unfortunately, they kind of rear their head up again, right? And they forget that they respond to the people. And, you know, I'm hopeful that the vote in the House will be overwhelming. I think we're going to lose a few here, but we have a duty to hold them accountable. Now, you know, I say that and I mean it. Hold me accountable. Hold every member accountable. I'm tired of what we're seeing in this country where the people in Washington run over the people that are out in the world in the United States doing their job every single day, right? America in a few weeks is going to, or 2 weeks, is going to celebrate our July 4th holiday. Well, in 2026, Jesse, it'll be our 250th anniversary. What are we going to do? What are we going to do for our kids and grandkids? I can promise you that those senators, those 15 senators or the few House members here, who are happy to go do a deal with the very Democrats who want to kill us, take away our way of life, undermine our ability to defend ourselves, tell us that there isn't a difference between man and woman, tell us that we got to have open borders, tell us that you got to have criminals running on the streets. We want to go do a deal with them? That's insane. And so those individuals need to be held accountable. We need to make sure that they pay a price at the polls, and we got to win primary fights, and we got to get out and defend America. But we've got, the time is coming, the clock is ticking. We've got to get out and make sure we protect this country for our kids and grandkids.
Amen. Congressman Chip Roy, I know you're a busy man. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Thanks, Jesse. God bless.
You too. All right. Senator Ted Cruz is going to join us to discuss all this stuff and much, much more next. But we're also going to talk about you and me putting our money where our morals are. We talk about that a lot. How many times have you heard me say those words? Well, get used to it. I'm never going to stop. And it's as much a reminder to me as it is to you. Where do you get your health insurance? You know you could go with One Share Health. They're a faith-based insurance company, and you're not going to sacrifice coverage, great prices, 24/7, telehealth, vision, dental, whatever you want there. Only they believe what you believe. They're so adamant about giving back 5% of your monthly goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. That's pretty cool, right? Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
A great day. A great day. Now, I do need some clarification on some things, though, because there's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo stuff that only intelligent people understand. So clearly we needed some help. We thought maybe we'd bring in someone you may recognize, the great senator from my state, Ted Cruz. Senator, there are already talks in places like New York and other places about how they're going to move forward anyway and just do whatever they want to do. Now, I'm an idiot, so to me, I just say that's not legal. They can't do that, right? But can they?
They can try, but they're not going to succeed. This decision from the Supreme Court is a big deal. It is a landmark decision upholding our right to keep and bear arms. And in particular, New York had in place very strict rules, making it all but impossible for most people to concealed carry and to carry a firearm outside the home. Basically, New York's view is you could have a gun at home, but you couldn't take it anywhere to protect yourself. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, threw that out. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the majority opinion. It's a phenomenal majority opinion. And it made clear, look, the Second Amendment is about protecting your right to protect yourself, to protect your family. It's a fundamental right protected in the Bill of Rights, and states don't have the authority to violate it. And so will you see some states try to violate it? I'm sure you will, but we'll see, I think, a lot more litigation and other abusive laws being struck down. And so I think that it's a great day for American liberty.
Senator, you're in D.C. all the time with access to all kinds of powerful people. Is there some way we can clone Clarence Thomas or make sure that he can't get any older? It's his 74th birthday today. We need Clarence Thomas around for, like, ever.
Look, amen. He is a great American hero. I will say I have urged, he's a friend, I've urged Justice Thomas that he needs to maybe eat a little less red meat and smoke a few fewer cigars, because we need him to live at least 50 more years. But he's fearless. He is absolutely fearless. And you know what? He is also a joyful, happy warrior. One of the things I love about Justice Thomas, he has this laugh that is like 9 octaves deeper than anyone else. It's like Santa Claus. It's incredible. And he just stands up and does the right thing, and the hell with the haters. He's going to stand up for the Constitution. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Senator, on to a topic that's a little bit uglier than the great Clarence Thomas. This Senate bill, the Senate gun control bill, we have 14, I think it may be 15 now, GOP senators signing on with the Democrats for more gun control legislation. And yep. I don't understand it, Senator. We have a little video here of, obviously, a Senator you know well, John Cornyn from Texas, getting booed. This is not something that people want. I'm sure you've seen it. Here's the video.
On the NRA strongly opposing the legislation, do you think that that will sway any of the Republican votes from last night?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. We worked with the NRA, listened to their concerns, but in the end, I think they simply they have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I think most people will not allow any outside group to veto good public policy.
Senator, am I on the fringe? We have senators from the great state of South Carolina that's blood red, Texas, Utah. We have all these red state senators signing on for more gun control. Who on the right wants more gun control right now?
Look, you're going to have to ask them that. I think this bill is very much the wrong direction. It's the wrong path. You know, whenever we have a mass murder, whenever we have a horrific crime, there's a debate that breaks out immediately in Washington. And there are two approaches. The approach that works if you want to stop crimes, and I want to stop these murders are horrific. Mm-hmm. The way to stop them is target the bad guys, target the criminals, the felons, the fugitives, those who try to illegally buy guns, those who commit violent crimes with guns, go after them. That works. What doesn't work is what the Democrats always want to do, which is to restrict the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens. And you know, yesterday I introduced legislation along with Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming. It's Cruz Barrasso. And it is vigorous legislation to stop bad guys, to prosecute violent felons, to throw in jail the violent criminals, to stop them from carrying out these kind of crimes. And then it's also serious funding for school safety to double the number of police officers in schools, so that the best thing we can do to keep our kids safe, and all of us want to keep our kids safe, is have armed police officers in schools that can stop a lunatic before he gets into the classroom. And, you know, I have to say, a minute ago, you just played an interview saying the NRA will never support anything. Well, you know what? The NRA is supporting Cruz Barrasso. It's supporting legislation that actually targets criminals, that would do much, much more to enhance school safety than would the bill that's on the floor right now. And I think it's an approach that, at the same time, it protects the Second Amendment rights of you and me and every law-abiding Americans. It's a nightmare for criminals, but it protects the rights of law-abiding citizens. That's the right approach. And I can't tell you why at least some Republicans aren't going down that road.
All right, let's bring up something very uncomfortable. I know you're probably not thrilled about it. I'm not either. But this Uvalde school shooting, the aftermath of it, the things we're hearing from Texas DPS and otherwise, it's really bad, Senator. And look, I wasn't there. You weren't there. We weren't there. But we have video now. We have pictures of armed police officers standing there for an hour. Senator, I know a lot of cops. I don't think I know a single cop who would stand there for an hour while 10-year-olds are dying. These guys are all type A, let's go get it on type guys. Senator, how does something like this happen?
Look, it is horrific. And it's infuriating. The more we find out about the law enforcement response there, the more infuriating it is. I got to say, I was in Uvalde the day after the shooting. I was there with the families, with the local officials, with law enforcement. And I sat in briefings where what they told us, almost every word of what they told us the day after the shooting, was false. It's really, they told us that an armed police officer stopped the shooter before he entered the school, encountered him. He was on the campus. He stopped him before he got in. That was all false. They told us the door was locked. Everything they said was false, and it's infuriating. It is clear law enforcement should have got in there much, much earlier and taken out the shooter. And I'll tell you what's even more infuriating than that. The shooter never should have gotten in the school. So Santa Fe High School is about 45 minutes from my house. I was at home that morning when the shooting happened at Santa Fe. And so I was on campus within about an hour of the shooting. It was in the immediate aftermath. And afterwards, I participated in a roundtable with families from Santa Fe who had lost their children. President Trump was part of that roundtable as well. And we talked about how the shooter got in Santa Fe. And the shooter got in through an unlocked back door and was able to get straight into the classroom and begin murdering students. And when you talk about best practices, there's ways to make schools safer to prevent that from happening. And one of the most important is to shrink down to one central unified entrance. You can have lots of exits that are fire doors that in the case of a fire you could get out. But you want one central entrance, just like you have at a bank or a federal building or a courthouse, and you have multiple armed police officers at that entrance. 10 years ago, I introduced legislation that would have provided $300 million in federal grants for school safety to do precisely that, to ensure that you have one central entrance, to put armed police officers there. Democrats filibustered that legislation. If that legislation had passed into law, and if the Robb Elementary School had gotten one of those grants and had locked that door, what's infuriating about Uvalde is that shooter got in the exact same way the shooter did in Santa Fe, through an open back door, and he was in the classroom already before law enforcement got there. What would have been better if that door was locked and the shooter had to come to one main entrance, and if there were multiple law enforcement officers at that main entrance, they could have shot and killed that bastard before he got into the school and saved the lives of 19 children and two teachers. That's how it should have happened, and that's what we should be insisting on now.
It's so frustrating. Senator Ted Cruz, thank you so much for what you do, sir. I appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jesse.
You bet. All right, you ready to feel good about something? We got to win. You ready for a plan of action for you? That's coming up here in a second. Before we get to that, let's talk about that layer of pollen on your car when you go out of your house in the morning. I know what it's like. I know what it's like where you're drawing your name in the yellow pollen and your eyes are just melting out of your head because your allergies are so bad. I've been there. I know. I'm not there anymore. Don't get me wrong. The pollen's still there. I have 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms. I used to wake up in the morning, most of my life, I would wake up in the morning and I would open my eyes and I would actually have tears if I was on my back running down the sides of both eyes. That's how bad my allergies were. And I don't have any allergies at all anymore. Eden Pure Thunderstorm is the greatest air purifier I've ever had in my entire life. It's just this little thing, just a little black box, goes right in the outlet in the wall. I keep one where I sleep, one where my sons sleep, one in the general living area. Have not had allergies since. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse. That gets you 3 of them. A three pack for under $200. That's $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. What do we do? Jesse, what do we do? Jesse, tell me what to do. How do we do? What do we fight? How do we fight back? How can we go? I get these questions all the time, and I'm not making fun of you. I understand it. I have moments, too. I wake up and look at the news, and oh, my gosh, this is terrible. And I think, what do we do? How do we do this? How do we take this country back? Well, I have news for you. And just stay with me. This is not meant to bring you down. You can't take the country back. I can't take the country back. We're just people. We don't have the ability to change this massive country of 300 million people, not at a national level. That's the bad news. Here's the good news, though. If you are willing to put in the time and the effort, you can eventually win back America. Not nationally, locally. Local is where we must focus. And I know local's not sexy. I get it, right? We all want to make fun of Papa Joe and Grandma Vodka. And we want to talk about Congress and the Senate and maybe governors. Those are the big, fancy, sexy things. Suits and ties and security guards and bulletproof vehicles. It's very powerful. It's very sexy. Local? City council? School board? So boring. It is boring. It is also the most important battle in America today. And there are so many wins you can start getting locally immediately. Let me tell you something that happened yesterday. Stay with me. There's a city here, actually in my area, in the Houston area, called Friendswood. Not a big place. I think it's 40, 50,000 people. I'm not sure. But yesterday I woke up and I had a bunch of messages from a buddy of mine. I know he's pretty wired in politically there in Friendswood. And here was the deal. They're about to have a 4th of July parade. Now, you should understand this. As I found out yesterday, this place is blood red. I think it's 92% Republican. When I say red, I mean red. It's small town America. White picket fences, a church on every corner. I mean, this is red, red, red. Well, they have a July 4th parade, of course, a place like this would. And it was announced that the grand marshal of this parade was going to be a lady by the name of Haley Carter. Doesn't matter who she is. Set that aside for a moment. What does matter is this. Haley Carter dresses her son up like an animal, takes her son to drag shows, is all about trans activism. Haley Carter is a gigantic gun grabber, hates guns. This human being is, if you had to build one of these card-carrying cultural Marxists, you would build this human being. How does that happen? How's that possible that that human being gets appointed Grand Marshal in a blood red place like Friendswood? Here's how. They get involved locally. They're at the little city council meetings you don't know anything about. When they email out or send out a newsletter for agenda items coming up in these small red areas, the ones you skip, you don't even read them, it's junk mail, you chuck it away. And I do the same thing, I'm not judging. They do read them. They are there. Turns out there was some steering committee of all volunteers for July 4th. Of course, gets packed with communists because no one else even knew about it. Only they cared enough. They went and found this person, put this person in charge of a parade. Now, what I did yesterday is I chose to play offense the way you must. I chose to organize on social media. And yes, obviously I have the aid of having a big national radio show and TV show, so I realized I had some advantages that you won't have. I began to post phone numbers for the city on social media. I encouraged people to call. Soon, the word was spreading around. Soon, we shut down the phone lines at City Hall. They stopped taking calls. The ones they did take, they just hung up on people. Mayor's office, city council's office, city manager's office, parks and rec's office. We blew up the phone lines at City Hall. This is yesterday morning. This is 24 hours ago. And I got word late last night, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, Miss Haley Carter is stepping down and she will no longer be the grand marshal of the parade in this wonderful community they call Friendswood. Now, what's the lesson in this here? Is this to brag? Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I love doing that. No, what is the lesson here? You have so much more power than you believe if you would focus where it does good. Your local elections. Something else I found out about this blood red community in Texas, Friendswood, Texas. Only two people on the school board are conservatives. Only two or three on the city council are conservatives. Blood red area, the rest are a bunch of Democrats. They get involved locally. We must begin to get involved locally. And something else. In response to all of us, I won't say me, all of us organizing, rallying, and getting this Marxist kicked out of the July 4th parade, as we should have done, I've heard a lot of this from the communists. I've heard a lot of, oh, I guess you believe in cancel culture. But that's cancel culture, Jesse. Yeah. I do believe in it. You see, you communists have gotten way, way, way too comfortable with the live and let live right. Oh, I don't do boycotts. I don't do cancel culture. We have to be better than that. I'm not better than that. I'm worse than that. We play cancel culture games here. You want me canceled? I want you canceled. So guess what? It's game on. How long ago was it? We got that DEI director in Miami, the one who made the kids go to a drag show. We cost her her job. Good. Now, this lady's no longer Grand Marshal of the July 4th parade. Good. And I've got news for all of you communists. Don't think we're done. Don't think this is just a couple pelts on the wall and we're going to call it a day. No, 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 no. We are involved now. You want us gone. We want you gone. I choose to play that game. And here's the real big problem for you. Me and the rest of the new right, we enjoy that game. I've had a blast for the last 24 hours making liberal lives miserable, both in Friendswood and nationally and other places. That's delicious to me. I love this fight, and we're going to keep doing this for a very long time. All right. We've still got a lot more show for you here, but before we do that, do you own a home? If you own a home, you understand your home title's online, right? I say that, I'm not trying to put you down. I didn't know. I have a home. I had no idea my home title was online. I thought it was just a piece of paper. No, they're all online. They're all in the cloud now. And because they're all online, they can be hacked, and they are being hacked. This is the new lucrative cybercrime out there. The cops can't get a handle on it. They hack into your home title, forge your signature on it, take a loan or several out against your home. Soon, you're being evicted. You're getting late notices in the mail. They will evict you from your home. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up today. HomeTitleLock.com. They will detect any tampering and shut it down like that. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. You know what we need on this show? Some more Tennessee. That's what we need on this show. One of the great states out there, and of course my good friend Emerald Robinson is from the great state of Tennessee. Still has that accent too, which I dig, by the way. Check out her Substack, Emerald Robinson's The Right Way. She has a piece up right now you should go read about the GOP. Emerald, you think the GOP wants to lose the midterms? What are you talking about?
Unequivocally so. Absolutely. They're doing everything they can to lose the midterms, even though the odds are really stacked in their favor if you look at how American people are feeling. But in no way, if you were trying to win the midterms, would you ever, ever, like 14 GOP senators did 2 days ago, support red flag gun law and prop up a president with dementia by potentially giving him this win if you wanted to be in control, if you wanted to be the majority. In fact, they're okay with me being the minority. They're not even doing a good job at this point of appearing to be the paid opposition.
Emerald, okay, so game this out for me. Explain this to me. Why would you want to lose? I mean, winning is much more fun, and being in control is a lot more fun than not being in control. Why would they want to lose?
Not unless you're a uniparty. Right? Because Mitch McConnell is really much more like Joe Biden than he is any Republican voter that you can find. They're all cut from the same cloth. Now, you have a few congressmen who are the members of the Freedom Caucus, and you do have, you know, a handful of other congressmen. You have, you know, a couple of senators, though I'll be honest, I've been pretty disappointed with every single Republican senator in one way or another. And so really for them, it's lucrative and it's less bothersome to just be the losers.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Emerald, you have another piece, by the way, I want to talk about, because we're not allowed to talk about election fraud, even though I talk about it all the time. And one of the most bizarre things I continue to see out there from the left and a huge portion of the right, especially the pundits and politicians on the right, is they say things like, there's no evidence. That's been debunked. There's all kinds of evidence. What are you talking about? There's no evidence. What world do you live in? Anyway, tell us about Fulton County.
There is so much evidence. And yeah, you can go to my Substack and see some of that, just the latest on the recertification of the Fulton election based on results they don't even have. These Fulton County board registrars don't even know the final results. The only person who might know but's not really giving it up is a former Dominion Voting Machines, now full-time Fulton County employee named Dominic Alamo. And he's saying that the discrepancy, the missing vote, were due to one issue, and it's been analyzed over and over and over, and it turns out it is not that. He is lying. As of right now, the Fulton County Board of Registrars, they were working with people, blowing the whistle and trying to help them in good faith. These people wanted to help them, you know, fix the problem so it doesn't happen again. Now they've just stopped contact. And these are even, you know, even the Republicans in the area have done that. I also just received a new report. I haven't even gotten to put this on Substack yet or tell my viewers on the absolute truth about it. This is going to be a new complaint to Brad Raffensperger. Oh, this will make you laugh. Under what happened in Fulton County on May 24th, the primary elections, looks like the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, his own vote didn't count. He or his wife, they were some of those votes that were not included in the count. So the irony there. But in this complaint, and I'm going to put a detail, a whole detailed Substack out about it, there is still no validation. There's no tabulator tabs for somewhere between 17,000 and 20,000 votes from the 2020 election. Governor Brian Kemp's office is aware of this. The governor is personally aware, because a person who knows him communicated via text message. This is not a partisan person. They just wanted him to know, hey, we found this. We've tried to get the information from the state. They say these tabulator tapes for 17,000, now more than that, ballots do not exist. They've admitted that. What it is remember that hand recount? Were you watching Brad Raffensperger the other day in the January 6th committee hearing? Remember he said, we did the hand recount matched, it matched the machine count, we did this count, it matched the machine count. That's not true. And we have the document to prove it. Because in Fulton County, and this is only looking at Fulton County, there's still those 17,000 ballots. What happened is they came up short in the hand recount on December 3rd and December 4th, those ballots. And instead of saying we're short, they found a way to quote unquote reconcile. They said they reconciled the count. There is no tabulation to show where those votes came from to this day. And the governor's office says that they're working on it, the people they've been talking to try to help them, you know. But now these people are realizing that it looks like Georgia is not operating in good faith, and they're getting very frustrated.
We're working on it. That sounds like what I tell the wife when she asks if I fixed the fence yet. I'm working on it. Absolutely. All right, Emerald, moving on to something else. Vaccinations and now vaccinating children, something even psycho-European countries aren't doing. Here's President Poopy Pants.
COVID-19 vaccinations for children over 5 years of age. Finally, some peace of mind. You know, this is, should I say under 5 years. We have them over 5 years, but over 5 months to 6 months to 5 years. And this is a very historic milestone, a monumental step forward. The United States is now the first country in the world to offer safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 6 months old.
Emerald, are we an evil nation?
We are at this point. I think it's heart-wrenching, and I keep seeing pictures on Facebook of mothers that I know with their screaming kids, you know, taking pictures of their kids screaming, getting the jab, kids as young as 1 year old. Now, I have a one-year old. I'm not letting anybody near her with one of these jabs. And the study that, if you saw Rochelle Walensky in announcing it officially in the COVID-19 task force briefing the other day, she said, you know, the moment parents have been anticipating, and it's based on rigorous scientific review. That's not true, Jesse. And if you really go through the so-called rigorous scientific review, what you will find is that this approval of a vaccine that's not even really the vaccine they say it's going to be, it's not the FDA-approved vaccine, Comirnaty, right? Because Pfizer has just admitted they're never going to make that vaccine. It's still the one that's under the emergency use authorization, BioNTech. They're never going to even make their approval. But this vaccine was based on really 10 kids. What happened with 10 kids? And the results there were not even good.
Oh, God. And we have vaccinated how many people already now, Emerald? You can't turn on the news now without seeing a mysterious reason that this 30-year-old or this 25-year-old, we have 12 to 17-year-olds having heart attacks. What did we do to ourselves?
Not only that, this is mass death on a level I don't think I could have even fathomed when I was looking at the possibility of it. Remember, Jesse, when it looked like these vaccines could be really bad, it's hard to imagine people actually starting to drop dead. But that's what doctors told me. And even though I knew what they were basing this assumption on was credible scientific evidence, it was hard for me to even absorb that and believe it. And so until it started happening, you're not even pairing in the mothers who are losing their babies, stillborn births. I started just saving headlines of just celebrities. We don't hear about regular people very often, right? I mean, we know who's in our community, but there's not stories and headlines on them as much. The stillbirth of celebrities. And there's no way, that might be a story you see, what, once a year, Jesse, at best, a couple times a year of a celebrity having a stillbirth? I keep seeing these and miscarriages.
Oh.
And if you Dr. Naomi Wolf, the amount of women losing their babies is just incredible.
God have mercy. Emerald, where can people get more Emerald?
Well, you can definitely watch my show every day at noon on frankspeech.com. You can download the app from the App Store and on Roku. You can also stream me on Getter at 4:30 p.m. every day. I don't want to cross play with you. I don't. And you can also see me on follow my pieces, and I try to give you more information so you can click and look through it yourself on my Substack. And that's Emerald, D as in dog, B as in boy, 3.substack.com.
Emerald Robinson, thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We have an athletic performance for the ages coming up on Light in the Mood. Before we do that, what do you do? We talk about this a lot. What can you do? What do you do? How did we take our country back? What can we do about that? Well, one step at a time. We've already talked about local. We can focus on local. We need to focus on local. And we need to focus on where we spend our money. We are constantly being spit on by corporations in this country because they believe you'll continue to spend your money with them. They don't believe you will punish them by taking away your business. But if you do, watch things start to turn around. And Public SQ is our tool to do that. Download Public SQ. It's right there in the App Store, whatever you have, Android, Google, or Apple, whatever you got. Public SQ, it tells you which business shares your values. Where should you go buy this? Where should you go buy that? Which plumber should you call? Public SQ is our tool. Go. We'll be back. A lot of people accuse me of being some kind of misogynist or maybe being against women's sports. That's not true. I don't like it when sports they're played poorly and they're not fun to watch. Whenever I see true athleticism, I don't care if it's a male or a female, I'm impressed by it. And I thought it would be appropriate today to lighten the mood, to maybe show greatness, real, real greatness. And it's not a man. From a woman. You think I don't like women's hoops just because I make fun of the WNBA? That's not true. I tell you what, I see this and man, I'm just blown away. We have a special on Mao Zedong this Friday. Go to thefirsttv.com/support. You got to be a supporter to watch it. Remember, Mao is the biggest monster, in my opinion, in human history. It's going to be a spicy special as we continue to dig into communists. thefirsttv.com/support.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.